Chris Meany here with you, switching gears from football to baseball to the NHL, which puts a smile on my face because I got one of my favorites here to join me. It is Pete Jensen of the NHL Network at NHL Jensen on the Twitter machine. He is the senior fantasy editor at NHL Network and, of course, the host, co-host of one of the best hockey pods going, NHL Fantasy on Ice, absolutely free. And Pete will be breaking down the Kraken and a whole lot more a little bit later on today. So make sure you subscribe to that podcast. Pete, what's happening, man?
Good to see you, Chris. And great to be talking to you fresh off the expansion draft. Of course, the Seattle Kraken. I think everybody knows this after what happened 4 years ago. They have huge shoes to fill. You know, it's a tough act to follow with the Golden Knights. I think they took a little conservative approach, you know, working to give themselves salary cap flexibility for the years to come and also fielding a competitive roster. So looking forward to looking at the projected lineup and fantasy rankings and everything going along with the Kraken right now. Release the Kraken, right? Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. You know, a lot of people are taking shots at the broadcast last night, but I enjoyed it, man. Like, they had some Seattle greats there. You know, Gary Payton, Marshawn Lynch. They had some... McLemore was there, and I love the setup in Seattle, like right by the waterfront. The fans were excited. I love the logo. I love the jerseys. You're right. They do have big shoes to fill. Like, if you're going to try to follow in Vegas's footsteps, it's extremely tough because they just had so much success right off the hop. And there were so many side deals a few years ago. I mean, you could go on and on about all the side deals. I mentioned a couple of them off the top, and Jay Theodore and William Karlsson and the two Florida guys. There's so much happening. Alex Tuck, don't take Dumba, take Tuck. Like, they just fell into a lot of great players. And Ron Francis said after that, maybe teams just learned their lesson over the past couple of years that there weren't a lot of side deals. Now, trades could happen. You got the freeze and, you know, the free agency next week and the draft tomorrow. So I think we're going to see some chaos in the NHL over these next, I don't know, few days. You mentioned the cap space. So I felt like they had a conservative approach as well. $54 million, the cap space is 27.5, according to Cap Friendly. 31 picks, 7 RFAs, 2 UFAs, 26 the average age. You know, the big player, they take Yanni Gourde, which I think a lot of people assume that they would take. And then it was released after that he has to have shoulder surgery and he could potentially be out until November. And Pete, I said this earlier, and I got to talk to you about Carey Price. If you thought they were going to take it, if you think it was the right move not to take him. But if you would have just let me look at maybe 90% of this roster and seeing the cap space, I would have thought, oh yeah, for sure, they're taking Price. But at the same time, this doesn't seem like a win now team. Now they can make some adjustments and add some players that maybe Price wouldn't have helped out this team, especially if he was going to be on long-term IR all year. Were you shocked that they didn't take Price?
Definitely wasn't shocked at all. I mean, I was on the fence about it when we were doing our mock draft. We had him in there, then we pulled him out at the end. You know, it was like just one of those things. Of course, you could have done a mock draft where you would have been up against the salary cap, but you could have still had, you know, a goalie like Vanacek or Kaapo Kähkönen, who I really liked. You could have had Vince Dunn and or Jake Bean, who I really liked, but they didn't take. That's their choice, of course. But anyway, like, I really think that, like, the Seattle Kraken they're going to be competitive in that Pacific division. That Pacific division is not very good outside of Vegas. You know it, right? The Calgarys, the Edmontons are flawed teams. The California teams are a shell of what they used to be. Of course, the Kings are trending in the right direction, but the other two are, you know, in no man's land right now, the Sharks and the Ducks. So I just think, like, they will have a chance to be competitive, even with this incomplete roster with Gourde maybe missing the first month or two of the season. I'm really excited to see Yanni Gourde maybe be a number one center and play with Jordan Eberle. And remember, we saw that flash of potential when he had 64 points a couple of years ago for the Lightning, but now he's been more of a third liner and really one of the most valuable third liners in the league. That back-to-back cup title can be pinned on the elite players in Tampa Bay, but also very, very responsible, our third and fourth liners and second liners come playoff time. And Gourde is a great example of that. So yeah, I thought it was a solid roster that they built. You could have had the allure of getting Price and Tarasenko and, you know, all this, the sexy names out there, but you probably would have regretted one or both of those contracts down the line. Let's be
100%.
Honest.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people were like, well, what about JVR? It's like, well, what about JVR? Like, yeah, he had a great season, but do you want to be linked to JVR and his contract over the couple of years? Like, you're not a win now team. And Ron Francis has been on record talking about the cap space. So I wasn't shocked either with Price. But I was back and forth as well, you know, on Cap Friendly doing mocks. It's like, okay, what does this team look like with Price? What does it look like without Price? I was surprised it didn't take Tarasenko, maybe flip him, but I like the Vince Dunn. So this is a mock of what I have their lines looking like. Now, of course, keep in mind, Yanni Gord is going to miss some time. I feel like they don't have a lot of left-handed shots. And also they got the cap space to add a couple guys, but Yanni Gord, Jordan Eberle, Cale Yarncroke, I think that's pretty solid. Colin Blackwell. I mean, I got him on the left side. He plays on the right. He did last year on the right. He can play center. Jared McCann, probably their number one center to start. Jonas Donskoy, a great season with Colorado last year. Morgan Geekie, I thought was a bit surprising. I thought maybe they'd try to find something there. Carolina's just loaded with talent, but I thought maybe Jake Bean. Mason Appleton is a guy that I really like as well. Brendan Tanev. Like, this team is going to bang. Like, I always think of Eric Young and banger leagues and things like that. Like, they got some guys that are going to throw their weight around, even on the blue line, like Giordano, Adam Larson, Jamie Oleksiak, I think, is a guy who last year, towards the end of the season, Pete, I found myself picking him up in leagues with hits and blocks. So they extend him, Hayden Fleury, Cal Fleury, if he gets in the lineup, he's a guy who can throw his body around. And then Chris Drieger and Vitek Vanacek, as you mentioned. So you have your rankings over at NHL.com. And you have eight players inside the top 50. Of course, you would have had Yanni Gord up there a little bit higher, if not for the news. But Chris Drieger at 134, Jordan Eberle at 147, Vanacek at 160, Vince Dunn 184, Mark Giordano 200. I think, you know, when you look at this roster and you see it, maybe you wouldn't be super excited about Colin Blackwell away from Panarin and Zibanejad at times where he played with them, or Cale Yarncroke. But some of these guys are just going to get an opportunity, right? Not just an opportunity in a top six and probably see career highs across the board and shot attempts and ice time. They're going to get power play time that they normally wouldn't get as well. Sometimes, especially in fantasy, volume and opportunity is just king, where you wouldn't think that a guy like Yarncroke would be a fantasy asset, but heck, Pete, he may be.
He'll be a sneaky player that could play on the top line left wing, or, you know, of course they have Donskoy, they have Jordan Eberle. I think for Eberle, it kind of unlocks his potential that he had earlier in his career with Edmonton. He did have a 59-point season with the Isles, but as everybody knows, Barry Trotz doesn't care about fantasy. He even said it himself. So Barzell's numbers came down when Trotz got there, but Barzell became a better overall player. I think you could say the same about Eberle. So now it's going to be really interesting to see what Eberle does as the featured forward in this group right now, especially while Gord is out. Can he get back to the 60, 65s, or, you know, he even hit 70 many moons ago, but it just shows he has that potential. Vince Dunn, I'm really excited about fantasy wise. I think if he's on top pair, or even if he's just on first power play, right? All these years, he's been behind Petrangelo. He's been behind Torrey Krug or Justin Falk or Colton Pareko. That's even right. Even when Petrangelo gets injured, he was behind Falk or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great opportunity for Vince Dunn to get past the, you know, being a secondary guy and maybe be the top guy on that defense fantasy wise. I know he had, despite injuries last year, he had the best points per game average of his NHL career. So that's really encouraging. And then, yeah, even Donskoy, like people say, oh yeah, he played some PP1 with the Colorado top dogs. But yeah, I mean, when everybody was healthy, he was on the third line mostly.
That's right.
And he was fourth on the team in even strength goals last year. So that's really impressive. And yeah, he was a good role player with the Sharks too, third liner with the Avs last year. But I'm kind of interested in that untapped potential. Whenever you can see, that's how the William Karlsson thing happened, right? Like he was a good second or third liner near the end of his Jackets tenure, I think in the playoffs that one year or something. But then he just went out and scored 43 goals. And there are going to be not that Price or Tarasenko or Bishop would have been an ego in the locker room, but there's going to be all competitive fire. There's going to be no major contracts or mega superstars in the room. So all these guys are going to be out for their personal best, you could say, in their career. Yeah. And that's something that's exciting. Even with how good Vegas was getting to the Cup final, they had Fleury, but other than that, Remember, we were looking at James Neal and Shipachov. Like, those guys didn't even really do anything the first year, and they still made the Cup final because of all these guys unlocking their potential. So even though the roster doesn't jump out to you like with superstars, don't be surprised if they make the playoffs. We've seen it before.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Shipachov, I forgot about him, right? It's easy too. But I do remember that. And again, we're here on Anthem Sports Entertainment. I remember doing shows, maybe with you, and breaking down Vegas and their roster and thinking, oh, you know, not great. But they've made some adjustments, obviously, over the past few years. Looking at their blue line now, didn't really look like their blue line then. I mean, Shea Theodore, but you remember Shea Theodore when they selected him? They didn't even play him to start. Like, he was like buried in the minors, and it took some time for him get up and play. And now he's one of the best defensemen in the league. Pete, don't go anywhere. I got two more segments here with you. I want to continue to break down the Kraken, and we'll look to maybe some other players from your way too early, but I don't think they're early at all, fantasy hockey rankings over at NHL.com. So keep her locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with Pete Jensen of NHL Network, and we're just breaking down the Kraken roster and rolling through it here a little bit. You know, Pete, I really like Yanni Gourde as a player, and I remember you had me on your show, NHL Fantasy on Ice, and we were talking about the Habs and the Lightning, and as I was watching, I kept thinking to myself how much we talked about that third line, and maybe we had talked about them too much. I thought maybe I talked about Yanni Gourde and Blake Coleman and Barclay Goudreau too much, but they were so good in the finals, and they were so good over the last 2 years in the playoffs for Tampa, that even with Yanni Gourde missing some time here, I think he is going to be a guy where you got him here roughly 203 in your rankings, top 250. He's a guy that you can just pick and stash on IR, right? And when he comes back, I think you're going to have a pretty solid asset as we look at their lineup here and just project it at full health. And of course, they can make some adjustments and pick up some guys. But number one center, you know, in the finals, he led all Tampa Bay forwards in ice time at 5-on-5, at all strengths, and he played in all situations. Like, he's an underrated player, and I know how much Cooper liked him. He started him at every beginning of every faceoff, double shifted the line, just getting some energy from him. So I think that Yanni Gourde addition, and there was a little bit of a cheer in Seattle. They know their hockey off the get-go. They were happy with that pickup. Of course, two Stanley Cups. Who are some other guys on this roster that you think could be a fantasy asset?
Well, definitely interested to see, you know, what happens with Mark Giordano. Like, they had him there at the event. I mean, he's one of the faces of the team, obviously. We'll see, though. He has 1 year left on his contract, and he's been with the Flames forever. Giordano, goal scoring wise for a defenseman, is up there over the past, whatever, 5-10 years. I think he has 7 different seasons with 10 plus goals, and hit that one amazing year when he won the Norris Trophy, had 21 goals. I mean, you can only pick a handful of defensemen that have scored that many over the past decade, I think. So, you know, guys like Burns or Hamilton or whatever. So it's, there are select few, and Giordano's one of them. So just interested to see what kind of a role Giordano is going to have. I know he has declined the past two seasons since that huge performance when he won the Norris, but it's he'll still get some renewed energy from the change of scenery and just the momentum of this new roster and taking some guys under his wing. So I'm excited about him on paper. Brandon Tanev is definitely going to cover some categories for you. And if he's playing in the top six and he's a fan favorite and he's a, you know, takes on more scoring pop and he's hitting people, I really like the way that he brought the energy and was making big difference for the Penguins in that series against the Islanders in the playoffs. So yeah, all these types of guys, Yarncroak, I mean, Yarncroak has played in the top six before, but has never been a featured guy. I mean, what if it's Yarncroak and Yanni Gourde and Jordan Eberle? Then you're going to see Yarncroak be fantasy relevant this upcoming season. So don't sleep on anybody on this roster. Even some of the lower guys that have not really scratched the surface in the NHL, like that kid from Denmark, Alexander True. You just never know. I mean, these guys have so much to prove, especially when maybe their previous teams, like he barely played with the Sharks, but they were a bottom feeder last year. So, you know, you think maybe that would give a player like that some added motivation to prove himself here. that he belongs in the NHL. So you're going to see that from a lot of surprise names this year, even if the Kraken are a worst case scenario, a last place team in the division or something like that.
And I don't think they will be, to your point, when you brought up this division. Yeah. I mean, there's Arizona and Anaheim. You mentioned LA, San Jose. These teams are not great. There's some questions in Calgary for sure. Like, they just lost their captain. What are their changes? How are they going to address the Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan? There's been some talk about splitting them up and making a significant move there. Matthew Tkachuk was rumored to get dealt about a month ago. Who knows if that's going to happen? The Oilers, I think, you know, we can talk about them in a little bit with Zach Hyman, maybe in the next segment, if he is going to go there. But there's a lot of holes and a lot of these teams inside the Pacific Division. So I think that they'll compete. I like the Tanev call. He throws his body around, and, you know, he's been fine in the back of the net over the past couple of years too. It's not like he just gives you hits, right? And if, to your point, if he's going to play in a top six role, then he could maybe provide something more than just hits. You know, I wanted to give some love to Jared McCann. You know, Jamie Oleksiak, I like. I mentioned him as a guy in a bangers league. It hits and blocks. Probably not going to get any power play time, though. But Jared McCann, I think there's a real opportunity for him. You know, playing behind Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin over the past couple of years, and then Malkin missing some time with the Penguins. And then Jared McCann going on a little bit of a run. So last year in 43 games, 14 goals and 32 points. Now, 32 points wasn't a career high for him. He had 35 points in 2019, but he played 66 games. So he played 23 more games. He scored 14 goals in that season as well. I look at a guy and I see his ice time, 14 minutes per game last season. I'm thinking at the start of the year, now again, they could make some more moves and sign a player and make some trades. I don't think they're acquiring a number one center. I don't really see too many in free agency either. I don't think Philip Deneau is a guy that they want, and he's not going to provide a lot of offense. I think McCann is going to have a real opportunity to show what he has to prove or what he can do. To your point, again, guys, you know, with a chip on their shoulder, teams not protecting them and letting them go. We talked about that with Vegas, and we saw a spark in the energy with that team, and it came together. McCann, I think, off the get-go, could be the number one center. He could be the guy who gets number one power play time here. A little bit of PP time last season, 10 power play points. That was a career high for him, 7 power play goals. What do you think about McCann? I know you don't have him in your top 250, but he's a guy that I think could be a top 250 guy, Pete.
Yeah, I thought we have him at the near the end. We might have him near the end.
Oh, you do. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
We added him actually. Yeah, we added him last night. I was actually thinking with Rob Reese before the pick, we assumed they would take either Jared McCann or Alex Kerfoot from the Leafs. And I didn't think you could go wrong either way, because Kerfoot was awesome in the playoffs.
He was.
In the loss for the Leafs against the Habs. And then McCann, like you mentioned, actually showcased some real talent on the power play when he was on that unit in the absence of Evgeny Malkin. So it's not like he was he played a little bit with Malkin when Malkin was healthy, but he did his best stuff when Malkin was out of the lineup in the second half of the season. So he was on the power play. He was anchoring the second line. He didn't really have like an elite line mate next to him. It was always, you know, Kasperi Kapanen in and out of the lineup. There was no secondary scoring really besides Jared McCann before they got Jeff Carter in Pittsburgh. So, and then he went on a scoring rampage, but yeah. So they plugged and played, but they used McCann a lot, and 10 power play points in a shortened season when you're not even on the first unit for most of the year is really impressive. So yeah, he's going to have an opportunity here to make a fantasy dent. And I think it's something that he, you know, showed enough where I would throw him in at the top 250, and I would maybe not take him in a standard draft, but I would certainly, you know, hit the little star and watch him on the on the watch list off the waiver wire. And maybe he would be like a week one add if he's playing hot to start the year on a line with Jordan Eberle. And that Gord, sometimes you never look back. Yanni Gord, as much as we talk about his upside, he would probably be a better second line center than he would be a first line center. So if McCann goes out there and lights it up and then Gord comes back, they're probably not going to disrupt too much, because Gord's best performances through the years have come as a second or third line guy for the Lightning.
It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out at the start, right? You mentioned William Karlsson, who that big season that he had, but that line, they basically been together now since Vegas's first game with Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, and William Karlsson. And Not getting a whole lot offensively from those three. I guess William Karlsson had a pretty good playoff, but Riley Smith and Marcius over the last two playoff runs, I feel like pretty disappointing. But you're right. It could be McCann and Eberle off the hop just creating chemistry, and it could be something there. And, yeah, my bad. You had him at 208 and then Donskoy at 222. I don't know what Sean Kemp went, how he pronounced Donskoy's name, but I thought that was hilarious. It just brings me back from butchering names as well. I don't know if you caught that or not. But and then the guy's like, yeah, Donskoy. He's like, yeah, that's what I said, Donskoy. That's who we got. I thought it was phenomenal.
I mean, yeah, hockey is such a tough bit. Even tough. For us, we're immersed. We see a new name pop up. We have to say it 50 times for it to become like fluent, you know, even before we do these segments and stuff. I mean, it's but it was cool, like you said, to see Kemp and Gary Payton from those great Sonics teams and
Lenny Wilkins, big hockey guy.
I mean,
yeah.
There's some recognizable faces on that broadcast. And
yeah.
I thought ESPN and the league did a good job with that. For sure.
I thought so too. And Marshawn Lynch didn't even want to pronounce Yarncroc. Cali?
Cali. Yeah.
It is what it is, Cali.
That was funny.
That was funny. Okay, one more segment, Pete. Hang around, buddy. We'll talk about maybe the goalie tandem and then just some news filtering through, some reports that Shea Weber may not play again in the NHL. We'll talk about that, what it means here next on Mean Streets. Okay. Chris Meany and Pete Jensen here with you on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network at NHL Jensen, the senior fantasy editor at NHL Network. Make sure you check out NHL Fantasy on Ice, absolutely free, a podcast and a fantastic one. These guys will be covering absolutely everything that has happened over the last 24 hours. And they'll be touching on, of course, the NHL draft, which gets underway tomorrow, all weekend long, and then free agency on Wednesday. We could see a lot of movement in the NHL before we get to maybe the possibilities of a Zach Hyman in Edmonton or a sign and trade back with the Leafs or a Jack Eichel or where Dougie Hamilton could go. This goalie tandem, I want to get your thoughts on this goalie tandem and what some teams are doing in the NHL. We saw the Habs do with Price and Allen and everything there. Just not wanting to lose Allen and exposing Price and having that work out for Mark Bergevin and just goalie tandems across the league, right? One great one in Vegas with Lehner and with Fleury. How do you think this one matches up with Vanacek and Drager?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you could have built a number of different strong tandems, whether you were getting like a veteran like Holtby or Bishop and taking that risk and complementing him with Vanacek or Kakinen or, you know, there were some other good options out there to be a third goalie if you wanted to go that route. But I'm cool with what they're going to roll with here. I think it's probably in the top half of the league in terms of tandems, what the Kraken have. I think it's the strength of the roster because I think the forward group has a lot of holes, especially with Gord out at the beginning of the season, most likely. The defense is solid, but not spectacular. So these goalies are going to have an opportunity either for one of them. If one of them falters, the other one can step up and be the clear number one moving forward. Drieger, even when he was outperforming Bobrovsky, was never anything more than a 1A in that situation because of the big Bobrovsky contract. And then, of course, Spencer Knight came into the mix this year. So Drieger actually has, if you look at the all-time NHL stat leaders, crazy enough, he has the best save percentage of any goalie in history over 10 games, you know, so he's played 38 games in his career and he has a 929. So that's a pretty crazy stat. And it's not just the 10 game sample size. It's like over three seasons or something totaling 38 games. So take it for what it's worth. He's not the best goalie in the world, but he's been really efficient for a Florida Panthers team that didn't always have a stout defense. You know, it looked more stout when they had Ekblad and Uyghur this past year, and even was pretty good after Ekblad went down with a season ending injury. But, you know, that was not one of the top defenses in the league. I'm actually interested to see how these goalies will fare with less goal support, because you look back at goals per game last season, the Washington Capitals and the Florida Panthers were tied with each other for fourth in the league out of 31 teams in goals per game. Everything considered, everything factored in. So they're not going to have that. They're not going to have a top five offense in Seattle this year, barring some, you know, earth shattering trade after the expansion draft. So how are these goalies going to fare? Can they keep games lower scoring? Can they work off each other like Leonard and Fleury do in Vegas? And, you know, no hard feelings if you get benched for a couple of days. That's always a tricky game to play, especially when you're a competitive team. But having a good tandem, a top half of the league tandem, can get you into playoff contention. And that's what I think Ron Francis is hoping for here. If the goalies get them there and then they can improve the offense when people around the league are saying, oh, the Kraken are for real, I want to go play on that team. That's the goal here, I think, that Francis has set out.
Yeah, and I don't think the defense is that bad. I think they got some young, promising defensemen, and Ron Francis did a great job in getting Carolina's D in pretty good shape. So I think he knows what he's doing there. And I tweeted about if anybody had any questions for us, and you mentioned just the offense. There was one question from Matt. I got to give him a shout out. Squiz612. Who's putting the puck in the net? That was his one question. We kind of already went over it, Matt, of some players that we think could score some goals. Let's switch gears. We only got a couple minutes here, Pete, 2 minutes. So we're not going to get into a lot of detail here, but word came down. Mark Bergevin had a presser here this afternoon, and he said, quote, he doesn't expect Shea Weber to play next season or maybe at all. Quote, even missing a practice for him wasn't an option. He has a lot of mileage. He won't be back next season. And he probably won't be back for his career. That's a massive blow to the Canadians dealing with an ankle, foot, knee, and thumb injury. There's a lot of big names out there. Do you think the Canadians would be in on a guy like Dougie Hamilton or maybe an Oliver Ekman-Larsson or making a trade for Rasmus Ristolainen? And there's a few defensemen out there they could try to replace. Ryan Suter was just bought out. He's another guy near the end of his career, but certainly I think he still has something to offer and, you know, a top four.
Yeah, there are so many options out there. I mean, you could look at the trades like with OEL or some other guys out there. Dougie Hamilton is a top five fantasy defenseman. So if he leaves Carolina, you know, I'm sure teams that have made moves to shed contracts will be interested, you know, Chicago, a team like that, you know, of course, Montreal, if this Weber thing is for real. So it's bad news, of course, because Weber is a fabric of the team, but at the same time, if he's on long-term IR and you have some salary cap, you know, an uptick in salary cap availability, then you can make any series of moves. You could even go out there and get Keith Yandle to run your first power play if you wanted to, and he probably wouldn't cost that much after he got bought out by the Florida Panthers. And I love Suter. I mean, I think Suter is going to be, whether he goes to the Bruins or the Avalanche or one of those other teams I just mentioned, I think he can add a lot to a contending team. So Suter is the one guy that I think would probably be the best fit and to replace Shea Weber, a veteran guy that defense first, but also can chip in the offense when he needs to and be a strong member of a supporting cast for a team like Montreal that's trying to replicate. I mean, if you don't have Shea Weber and everything he brings to the table for a full season, you're probably not replicating what you did unless you address it here in the off season, which they'll probably be able to do now that they have the salary cap relief.
Yeah. And Weber's former teammate in Nashville, Pete, you're right. Fantastic, dude. I love chatting hockey with you again at NHL Jensen. Check out NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. And just yes or no, like one of these. Yes. Jack Eichel traded from Buffalo over the next 2 weeks. Yes. No?
Yeah, probably. Yes. I mean, the more I think about it. And yeah, I appreciate the fan question. And I would answer that with maybe Jordan Eberle. The guy scored 34 34 goals before. Good stat from my colleague Rob Reese. I think it was like from 2011-12 to 2017-18. He was sixth among right wings in the NHL in goal scoring. So maybe that answers your question. And definitely you know, check out the Fantasy on Ice podcast this Monday or Tuesday. Actually, we're going to have a draft recap, the picks and the trades, and also Seattle Kraken. So it'll be the start of our season preview edition. These are shows that are always like highly consumed by the fantasy managers around the league. So really fun to get that started so early in the summer here. But so much is going on, and great to come on with you, Chris. Thanks for having me.